Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Talking a little Titans week one coming up on Sunday. And to help us talk more about that, we welcome in our friend Teresa Walker from the Associated Press on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Teresa Walker of the Associated Press, also TV star before the Tennessee game the other day on News 2. Teresa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. And I'll say this about that little hit with Samaria. I think I finally figured out which is the south end zone. I've only been going to that building for 20, this is my 25th year. And it's like north, south, east, west, clubs. It's like I always have to check. I always get confused. I'm a little dyslexic when it comes to to direction. If I didn't know that was a thing.
But hey, you got there. You did a great job.
Now I'm.
Thank you.
It's the one to our right, in the press box?
Now I know that.
Okay,
Joe.
Nice. Well, now I know too.
Way to go, Joe. We both know.
I got extra steps.
There we go. Now we're talking. So, Teresa, our question of the day here on the show for Titans fans, what would constitute a successful season for the Titans? What's your answer to that?
Winning the AFC South, because I don't see the two wild card teams to me are most likely coming out of the AFC East. So if you want in the playoffs, let's face it, the AFC South with two teams featuring rookie coaches, rookie quarterbacks in C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans in Houston, and Anthony Richardson and Shane Steichen up in Indianapolis, it's getting into the postseason. And that's going to be – you have to win the division. And, yes, I saw where Peter King yesterday, he's picking the Jaguars as his number one seed in the AFC. And I'm like, okay, that's making quite a leap for
Dang,
a team.
Really?
Yes, he did. And now in the NFL, anything can happen from year to year. I mean, it absolutely can. But it's almost like people are ignoring what's going on in Tennessee, just presuming that the team that lost the last seven games last year, partly because for a second straight season they led the league in players hurt and players used. 31 players, guys, ended up on IR after the final roster cuts last season. And the biggest one of those was the quarterback who missed five games because of the two separate ankle injuries. Guys, they were still a couple of minutes, 3 minutes, away from winning a third straight division title. Now, granted, the Jaguars have had lots of money to spend. Trevor Lawrence is going into his third year. Doug Peterson is, not Urban Meyer. He's a good coach who actually knows how to deal with professionals. So, yes, I expect the Jaguars to be good, but they're the team that has to play Kansas City this year, Buffalo this year, who are once again predicted to be among the best teams in the AFC. The Tennessee Titans, you know what advantages they've got? Aside from the fact they got rid of a lot of the players who were the ones being hurt, the, quote, repeat offenders, as Mike Vrabel put it to end last season, they've got a lot of guys in contract years, guys who are literally playing for their lives in the NFL, combined with the fact that, yes, they have a slightly easier schedule. Now, that can all change once this season ends, but how many times do we see teams going from worst to first, miss the playoffs, back to the playoffs? And there's this simple fact that I think you cannot overlook in the Mike Vrabel era. Every year in the finale of each of his first five seasons, they have been playing with a playoff berth on the line for the winner to take and go into the postseason. And the two times they didn't make it, it's because of injuries at the quarterback position.
So what concerned you most about this team, Teresa?
Probably the offensive line. Because while we know that it's different, we know there's going to be five new guys playing there. And Aaron Brewer is the one holdover right now with Nicholas Petitfrere officially on his six-game suspension. And here's an advantage that they've got over past suspensions. After three games, he can come back and at least go to meetings and be around the team. And that should help ease his reacclimation when he is allowed to, and here's the fun thing, because of the bye, his first potentially game back is October 29th. And in the meantime, they've got Chris Hubbard, who has worked literally all off season, or at least all training camp rather, at right tackle. So, they started working him in. It was no Nicholas Petitfrere with the ones, and then we'll see what happens behind there and who can earn that job. No, Chris Hubbard was allowed to work beside Daniel Brunskill early and often to start building some much needed chemistry. So that's the area. I mean, inside linebacker, yes, you're going to miss David Long, at least until he gets hurt in Miami. But I think that they have upgraded that position with Azeez Al-Shaair and Jack Gibbons. Yes, a undrafted rookie is an upgrade. So, and if that secondary, they swapped out, they've got Sean Murphy Bunting in there, and, yes, we need to see Christian Fulton stay healthy, but with Roger McCreary, Christian Fulton, Sean Murphy Bunting, that should be, especially with that front, Harold Landry back, and Arden Key on the other side, guys, this is going to give them an opportunity to have a much improved defense for a unit that tied for 13th. Fewest points allowed last year, and one against the run, the area that they had to get better at, well, turnovers, and, oh, yeah, they need to be able to, not let teams throw the ball up and down the field on them all day long, and it feels like they have improved the defense to the point that that's going to be something that they actually can do.
Teresa Walker with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Teresa, I was talking with Joe about this the other day. Every year we get into training camp, and Derrick Henry basically becomes an afterthought because he's not going to play in the preseason games and there's all these position battles. But so much of what the Titans do offensively obviously comes down to him. So we know the offense is going to look different this year. They've got Hopkins in there. They've got a new OC. Derrick Henry's approaching 30 years of age. What are your expectations for Henry as he enters into yet another season where he's going to get the ball a whole lot with the Titans?
Well, based on what we've seen out of Tyjae Spears, it just feels like they finally – and I know I put an asterisk beside it, but it feels like they finally have a running back who can be a true complement to Derrick Henry. And when I say true complement, a guy that if they have them both out there at the same time, or if they run Spears out there, you can't automatically, like with Deion Lewis, say, oh, they're throwing the ball. No, because this is a kid who can run through the tackles, and he can be a threat in the receiving game. And when you combine that with Derrick Henry coming off the best receiving year of his career, it feels like that's going to give them an advantage, the ability to disguise things that they did not have before and have not had. And it just feels like Derrick Henry is poised to have just as good a year, but without maybe fewer touches. Because, guys, thanks to DeAndre Hopkins, and, yes, we still have to see when is Treylon Burks back. The fact that he didn't have anything on his leg at practice last Tuesday and Thursday when we were looking at him, promising. But you obviously can never tell about a setback. But with those guys and Chigakwankwo in the passing game, yes, Kyle Phillips is on IR, and we have to see who's the receiving core behind Burks and Hopkins. But, guys, with Hopkins and Burks, the way Burks played this year, and with Hopkins, they've got there's no way they're going to be 30th in passing. So that, to me, offers the opportunity to get somebody out of the box, and that makes it easier for some big 6'3", 247-pound man named Derrick Henry to run. And for everybody saying running backs start dropping off as they get closer to 30, and officially his birthday is January 4th, so that'll be before the season finale with Jacksonville, which another reason I'm picking the Titans is to win the division is that game's here, not in Jacksonville, is the fact that he didn't run, he wasn't carrying 30 times every, once he hit campus at Alabama. He didn't do that when he got to Nashville because he nearly spent two full seasons kind of behind DeMarco Murray. Guys, I still think there's some tread there. And Derrick Henry, I saved this quote from the beginning of camp for a story last week, but, he's the guy who started that whole group chain among the running backs as they were trying to figure out how to prove their value. The best way to prove value on an NFL football field is running through and over people, which is, last I checked, that's Derrick Henry's modus operandi.
Way to actually say the words instead of just saying M.O. I'm very
nailed
impressed.
It.
That, yes, that, very nice. All right, I got to get you on this, Teresa.
I did take Latin.
I got to get you on this because we talked about a fair amount on the show yesterday, but Charlie Burris, this turned into a big firestorm, I guess, between like Vols media, sort of, and Titans media. But he said, basically saying that the Titans have, spit in the faces of Vols
yes.
fans? Spit in the faces of Vols fans. Do you feel like the Titans have disrespected, disregarded, et cetera, Vols fans? I mean, you've been here the whole time.
No. I mean, what are they supposed to do? There is a difference between the NFL and college football. It is that simple. And, you know, you've got people who have grown up supporting the University of Tennessee through generations, okay? Because grandpa went there, grandma went there. You know, in my family, my husband was a walk-on in 79 and went to Tennessee. I graduated from the University of Tennessee. My son, you know, graduated from the University of Tennessee. My mother-in-law has had season tickets for the Vol since 1985, for God's sake. I mean, you know, what else? She's also been a PSL holder and went to games in Memphis for the Titans. It's just different. There are more games played at the NFL level. I mean, are the Titans supposed to have are they supposed to wear orange and white? I mean, you know, it's a different sport. I just didn't understand that tweet. I don't understand, you know, what they're supposed to do. You know, they've done their, you know, the Titans caravan has gone around the state similar to the Big Orange caravan. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me. You're talking apples and literally oranges in this case.
Very nicely done. Teresa's on our A game today.
Teresa, thanks for taking so much time to be with us this morning. Looking forward to week one coming up this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, guys.
Teresa Walker from the Associated Press, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Don't draft Will Levis. That's the answer, right?
I still believe that's what this whole thing's about. Levis over Hooker.
Spit in the face.
Just unbelievable. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Get back into the question of the day. What is a successful season for the Titans this year? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.